Good morning.
DA, permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Man, that's all that really matters. And we appreciate you being with us on this fine Thursday morning. Tomorrow morning is the Bob's Bar Show. And if you drive up, Zach Gelb is going to be parking your car as our valet. We'll hear from Gelb coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. Zion Williamson could be dealt this offseason. Reports are that the Pelicans are actually more open to trading him than Brandon Ingram, even though they have not admitted that they are shopping Zion. Sounds like other teams have called about Zion. And this is the deal. I was convinced Zion Williamson was going to be a super-duper star in the NBA. Not only was he athletically gifted to the point of his dunks, his windmill crashing powerful dunks were legend when he was in high school, that he would bring that, but that he actually was a really good basketball player. That if you watched him that 1 year at Duke, his footwork was really good. His positioning around the basket was good. It wasn't just a high-flying, I'm more powerful than you type of game. He knew angles. He knows angles. He knows footwork. He's a good passer. I said, Zion's going to come in with the idea that this guy's just like the next dunk artist, and yet he's got a pretty full-fleshed game. He's going to be a great one. And that has never materialized. And now he's likely to get a new destination because I think what's happening in New Orleans feels like they're on a bit of a hamster wheel. That maybe his heart's not in it down there. Maybe he's distracted. Maybe off the court stuff with the women or whatever. Drama has taken its toll. Maybe it's the situation itself with the organization. Maybe he wants a bigger city. Whatever that is, I just don't think the Pelicans can really feel like they'll ever get what they thought out of him, no matter how long they hold on to him. But I would also say this, and it crushes me to say this, but I don't think he'll ever be what he could have been. I think the ship has sailed. I think Zion had the potential to be a top five player of the NBA, maybe higher than that. From a physicality standpoint, an awareness standpoint, a footwork standpoint, an all-around game standpoint, he could have been one of the greats. He could have been one of the greatest players in the league. I don't think he'll ever get there now. I don't think you can spin the wheel for 4 years of the NBA and have injuries or sit out or be distracted or be whatever, apathetic, and then suddenly you go somewhere else and everything flips. That rarely, if ever, happens. When have you seen a player who's been injury-prone, injury-riddled, sat out a ton of games for 4 years, not one, not two, not one bad injury, and then come back and completely flip the script? Doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So I would say buyer beware on Zion this offseason. Frankly, I wouldn't put many eggs in the basket of trading for him. Now, are you buying a stock low, hoping that you get high? Yeah. I think there's a way for Zion to have a better career than he's having right now. I think there's a way for Zion to be more focused, to be more disciplined, to get into a situation maybe where there's a winning culture, veterans around him, expectations higher. I think there's a way for him to be better than this. But do I think he'll ever be one of the five best players in the league? Absolutely not. No. No. And, you know, the thing is, do circumstances matter? Absolutely. Circumstances always matter. That a great quarterback is only a great quarterback when you finally surround him with some winning pieces. I get that. We can all agree on that. But there has to be something internally that pushes you to a level of commitment, of desire. Success, there's a lot of different definitions of success. Some might say Archie Manning was not successful. Okay, but he also played in a crappy Saints team and an Oilers team that was not very good as well when he got there. And if your indicator for success is simply wins and losses, that's not necessarily a fair indicator for every QB. He didn't have Marvin Harrison. He didn't have Edgerrin James. He didn't have Reggie Wayne. By the same token, Archie Manning was not a failure, no matter if he was 3-13 or not, because he was internally driven to be committed and want to be better. There's guys all around. Like, Barry Sanders never played on a great Lions team. Never. One year they got to an NFC Championship game by winning one playoff game. Besides that, he never even won a playoff game. There had to, though, be a desire from him to continue to be great. Zion does not have that. He is easily distracted. He's easily overweight. He's easily not committed. He's easily apathetic. And I don't think you just flip a switch. You can be better with a better situation, but I don't think he ever becomes a great player. And so if you're buying on Zion today, this summer, I would say buyer beware. It is a thirsty Thursday, so tweet at us. Eli Y, who is the spicy salami on Twitter, is toasting my fellow bird watchers. I'm 27, got into the hobby over the last year and a half. I've had encounters with 215 different species of birds, all thanks to info shared by people who share the same passion. Hashtag Booskies.
Booskies!
That's very honorable.
This guy's a bird watcher?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, you know, not everyone's got to chase skirt all day like you.
There's a reference we haven't heard since 1930. Is there a more useless thing to do with your life than to watch birds and put it in a scrapbook about which ones you've seen?
It could be very healthy. It could be very meditative, I think. You know, you go outside and you just hear birds chirping. That's a real mellowing thing. If you're angry, if you're wound up, just go outside and listen to birds.
Yeah, I mean, the sound of it, sure. I'm not going to then jot down pen and paper about which birds I've seen on a certain day and keep a record book of it.
Well, what's your healthiest hobby, would you say?
I can't say it over the air.
Yeah, well, it's not very healthy then.
I'm going to do some bird watching when I walk out of the radio station today. I'm going to see four pigeons take a deuce on the sidewalk.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Thanks for that. Dr. Phil Keto, MD, is toasting himself. He graded 754 AP history essays in 12 days. Straight cash, homie. Completely debunks Mraz's garbage take about educators not working during the summer. Booskies to Dr. Phil Keto. Take that, Mraz.
Yeah, I mean, Phil's wrong. There's a lot of educators who don't work over this. Plenty that do, and those aren't the ones I knock.
Daniel tweets, boy, it sounds like Mraz can't handle the tooth. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
Steven Severna Park says, good morning. I'm toasting the D'Alien family. However they listen or watch, they all seem to be great human beings. Really looking forward to meeting them tomorrow. Hashtag Booskies.
Booskies!
You know, we just had our friend McInbear in Delaware toast to his son over Twitter, but he sent me a few pictures of his son, and he says, good morning, DA. Last night was one of the greatest days of my son's life. It's a true joy to see your son graduate high school, and in 4 years, I'll be ready to see him walk the stage again after college. God bless you and your family, my friend. And, I mean, he's just one of the great guys that I've ever met, McInbear, and I got to meet him down to the Little Mo event last summer in Baltimore. And he sent me pictures of his son, and his son towers over him. Now, McInbear is not a small guy, but his son looks like this guy is a stud and an athlete and about a foot taller than dad. So look out for McInbear's son somewhere in college, probably dunking on unsuspecting, you know, rec league player or something like that if he's playing pickup or something. I don't know what he plays, but dude looks like he's going to be – he's a handsome man too.
The Bear in Bear, maybe they'll start calling him?
The Bear in Bear?
Instead of McInbear, because he's from Bear, Delaware. He's so big, the son. He can be the Bear in Bear.
Yeah, but he's very thin as well, so.
Huh.
Ostrich Eyes tweets, before photography, DA, wearing a loved one's tooth as jewelry was common to remember a loved one who had passed. Now, think about that, guys, that before you had photographs of your ancestors to remember them, you could wear a tooth.
I mean, how about you just etch them into the rock like you draw like a stick figure? That's how you remember them.
Yeah, do you think that's what people were doing, like, after Neanderthals?
Well, art is one of the art's one of the original art forms in the world from that stuff. You could have drawn.
Art is one of the original art forms?
Yes. The original hieroglyphics, I think they were called.
They were, yeah.
I just need to know at what point in your life do you say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to save this tooth here for somebody to remember me by. Let me yank this out of my mouth.
Unless the embalmer does it, unless the mortician pulls the teeth. I don't know. I do not want AJ holding onto my teeth. Also, he would need an entire satchel for the size of my teeth. You need to keep him in his own fanny pack or backpack, even duffel bag. Squishy Liquid tweets, look, you guys have a naked butt in the kitchen. That's a burn risk. Concussion risk if Badlands hits Mraz as hard as we all hope with the kielbasa. Excessive oil, a slip and fall risk. Cold pool, cardiac arrest, and of course choking. How do you Heimlich a 600-pound man like Badlands? Squishy Liquid pointing out that there's lots of risks tomorrow.
You Heimlich Badlands Booker by jumping off Mraz's roof, nosedive right into his belly. And hope whatever food he's choking on comes out.
Dixieland Dan is toasting the Bob's Bar Show and all the D-Aliens that are going. Of course I can't make it, but I hope you all drink a bunch of ice-cold adult beverages and make this the best Bob's Bar ever. Can we get a knockout Neil to smack Shep if he gets out of line? Hashtag Thirsty Thursday.
Booskies!
No violence. We don't want to incite anything that might make Bob and Nancy a little nervous. And we certainly don't want knockout Neil to be angry tomorrow. We already know that he's threatened to knock my block off, so we don't need to encourage that.
How great would knockout Neil getting a flat tire as a result of Gil parking the car be? you want to see somebody squirm.
And he'd be staying at your house.
Yeah, I don't want to egg on knockout Neil, but yeah, it would be fun to see Zach squirm going, oh my God, knockout Neil wants to kill me. Jeff in South Jersey is toasting to all of us gents. Couldn't make it work for Bob's Bar this year. It's a total bummer, but it came down to the wire. So booskies to you guys. Loyal D-Aliens appreciate the opportunity to be part of what we love.
Booskies!
Matt has tweets, asks, is Wendy's open that early tomorrow morning?
Ooh, it's a good point. Wendy's opens at 6. Because they have the great breakfast item.
They've got the breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you have to go before then, I'm sorry to say, that's why you have a hotel.
Carla with a K is toasting Bob and Nancy for their hospitality and opening up their home and yard for the show, and Mraz for his work to pull this off at his childhood home. Wish I could join you guys. Hashtag Bob's Bar and hashtag Booskies.
Booskies!
All in for Bob's Bar is toasting being on vacation at the hotel right now in Long Island and being at Bob's Bar tomorrow morning. Hashtag Booski.
Booski.
Wow. That is all in if you're already at the hotel.
Yeah, that's two nights at the hotel, right?
Yeah, you're currently closer to Bob's Bar than I am. That's saying something already.
Because you couldn't check in at 9 in the morning at the hotel.
I mean, again, unless it's not that packed, or you got one of those hourly places that's not nearby. That's nearby.
And the name of the Twitter account is All In for Bob's Bar?
Yeah, the name is All In for Bob's Bar, at All In Bob's Bar, and his avatar is just the letter M. So I don't know what this person looks like. We don't know his identity or her identity, but we will find it out tomorrow. I think there's going to be a lot of listeners tomorrow, Mraz, that we meet for the first time with some type of visual, because a lot of our listeners might not tweet at us, and if they do, they might not have a picture of themselves.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the really cool parts about this. And I'd also say, if you're already there, you might as well just pop over, help Bob finish power washing. Let's get this thing done here.
Do we get to meet the creator of the DA quotes page?
Oh, we'll never know that person.
I think DA Show Quotes is forever an anonymous entity.
It's like Banksy.
A shadow figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Banksy. He's the DA Show's Banksy.
That boy has no idea who Banksy is. He's the famous graffiti artist.
Oh, yeah, I heard this.
You know, art is one of the first forms of art.
Yeah.
Art. Oh, I didn't even think of that. Art form.
Are you serious?
That never clicked with me. Okay, never mind. Now I see what I said sounded stupid.
When we come back on the show, we'll hear from Zach ahead of his car parking responsibilities. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings, mothership.
I would definitely eat hot dogs out of a Stanley cup.
Or, ooh, I got it. A giant hot cookie with scoops of vanilla ice cream.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. Thursday morning, final hour of the show ahead of tomorrow's Bob's Bar show. We have arrived. Bob's Bar 3 happens tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m. Eastern time. Until about 10 a.m. Eastern time, of course, when the show ends. And then we'll have live music takeover or just out of a Wi-Fi speaker. We'll see. If we can cobble that live music together, we will. If not, we'll just play some tunes on the speaker. Have food, drink, be merry. When you show up tomorrow morning, crack your first beer or drink early and often. Don't wait for us. You guys should get all lubed up during the show and have a good time. Having a good time! Having a good time tomorrow morning at the Bob's Bar Show, the One Sheet Travel Guide. If you need some help with the Long Island Railroad, the subway system, what stop to get off, hotel stuff, it's all available there. You can go to my website, DamonAmendolara.com. Click on the blog. You'll see the travel guide there. Also, you will need the official address from Mraz, or I suppose one of the other patrons that are showing up. So Mraz is doing his very own pat down. His digital pat down to make sure you guys aren't crazy people. But I think so far, sounds like, Mraz, you just got a bunch of good people that are coming, huh?
Yeah, people that are genuinely excited, that just want to take part in the show, have a good time, having a good time. I've been really impressed with everybody that's reached out and how cordial. What can I bring? What can I do? I think that this is going to be really fun, and you guys have been outstanding.
Sparks Gang 330 says, good morning, everybody. I'm toasting to the YouTube chat. Listeners turned family. Always fun. Shout out to Capo, Lee, Wronger, B-Town, Same Skis, Excalibur, Spencer, Zach, PRGG, and Jeff. Hashtag down with Doyle. Hashtag YouTube gang.
Booskies.
Wow, down with Doyle. Well, tomorrow, Pat Boyle gets oiled up by whoever comes from the farthest away, and we've got some really good contenders here. But the morning starts off with Zach Gelb, who's going to be wearing a Nebraska Cornhuskers coaching outfit in honor of his best friend, his BFF, his bestie, Matt Rhule. So he's going to be parking your cars. We don't know whether you should tip them. We are leaning towards, if you want to, you should, because we think it'll make Pete jealous that he didn't ever want to park cars, but now Zach did it. He made money doing it. So whatever you want to do, you don't have to tip him if you don't want to, but it might be funny to basically give Zach a taste.
Make the picks. Make the damn picks.
You might just want to say, hey, Gelby, have a taste.
Have a taste.
Yeah, have a taste. And make sure you have a wad of bills, preferably ones, to make it seem like you're rich, but it's really just like $15 in ones. And then you pull one off and you throw it at Gelby and go, hey, get yourself something nice and have a taste. But Gelb has put together a little Gelb's Gambles for us, since this is how he lost this bet. He has won ahead of tomorrow morning. Let's play it.
Hey, Gelb, it's your best buddy in the whole wide world, Jack Stern. Park my car so I can see my other friends. You know who I'm talking about, Damon and Mr. Raz.
Jack, take a hike. You aren't welcomed at Bob's Bar. crap, it's Knockout Neil, and he looks angry.
I will kick your ass.
DA, watch out. Oh, Nancy Mirage, please don't scream. I know Carlos with a K was salty he couldn't get off from work to attend the show, but I wasn't expecting him to show up to Bob's bar and pee on the dog's tombstones. Ugh, Foxy is here. Hey, everyone, get the earplugs in so we can tune out his average at best bagpipe session. What the heck is this? I don't have a license to park a Viking ship. Who the heck could this be? It's he who shall not be named. Who the heck invited this guy? Guys, I don't have much time left to talk. I'm clearly in over my head parking these cars, and it's exhausting and a big, big task. Oh, shucks. Now I sound like Pete the Body Bilotti making something seem like it's a bigger deal than it actually is. But anyway, I can't believe how many people showed up, so let's not waste any more time. Here are my Gelb's gambles for the Big Bob's Bar Show. At plus 250, I'm taking Peter Schwartz and Shep to not get in a fight this year because Schwartz will be too busy trying to get Badlands Booker to autograph the game-used kielbasa he slaps Mraz with as a gift for Bradley's next birthday. I'm also taking Pat Boyle to not spend any nookie time at Bob's Bar. We all know Marie in Denver isn't coming, but who really wants to spend any time oiling Boyle after his massive Canadian bacon blunder from last week? And finally, I'm taking the under of 10:45 a.m. Eastern as to how long D.A. will be sticking around after the show ends. By the way, D.A., congratulations on becoming a father, but we all know, baby or not, a big star like you would be jetting out after the show ends either way. Oh, come on, Jack Stern. I already told you that you aren't welcome here at Bob's Bar. Caserta, I'm done parking cars for the day. You're up. I'm going to drink a beer with the Bayou Bear, and you'll deal with big baby Jack Stern.
I woke up 40 minutes ago. I slept for 2 hours. I don't want to deal with it.
Jeez, sorry I even asked. All right, that's all the time we have today from a busy Bob's Bar valet stand. Damon and Raz, back to you.
Well done. Really well done, Michael. That was excellent. That's a lot of shrapnel. You took down a lot of people.
And for the first time in 2 years, Jack Stern with a good attitude about doing something.
I do feel a little bit bad that the joke is he's not invited. That's not fair. We should make sure that he knows he's invited if he wants to come.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we need a GoFundMe to get him there. Actually, maybe he, for that Brownster, should be GoFunding the guy in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. To get him out of here.
True. Mm-hmm. True. Dip into the family fortune.
Trust fund.
And get Avery from San Francisco out of here.
And Cap is looking for anybody from Brooklyn to split the Uber ride with him. So.
So, tomorrow is going to be pretty wild. And he mentioned Schwartz getting the kielbasa autographed for one of his kids' next birthdays. As silly as that is, that's not far off. You don't think that Schwartz might want to have Badlands autograph something, maybe the kielbasa? Feels like that's in play.
Yeah, 100%. Schwartz has probably spent the last year at flea markets looking for competitive eating trading cards to make sure Booker not only signs his own, but then hands Booker other ones to send to other people on the tour for him.
Pat Boyle, have you already picked out what you're going to wear tomorrow?
I have not, honestly, and wow. I'm a little torn here.
What are you torn between?
Oh, I don't know. I just haven't even thought of it. And I was thinking about it like in the 7 a.m. hour when you were talking about it. And it's kind of giving me anxiety. I don't know what I want to wear.
Oh. Well, something easily removable because we need to take off your clothes to then oil you up. Now, we only said your pecs, but I guess should it be down to like bathing suit or Speedo?
His pelvis?
Or should he keep his pants on?
Are you getting the inner thighs?
I mean, look, if he wears a Speedo, then that's fine. I don't think you can ask him to go down to the whitey tighties.
I don't wear whitey tighties.
I bet you Boyle is a, they're not boxer briefs, but they're like what, compression underwear, like the athletic underwear that you would wear, right?
Yeah, I wear Jockey and Calvin Klein. Those are my two. Those are my top two guys.
There will be some tube sock stuffing going on tomorrow, I'm guessing, for Boyle.
I don't need it. unless it's a cold day. In that case,
right now, Marie in Denver just passed out. She right now is fanning herself in her room right now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would guess since there is going to be a massive amount of baby oil applied to me, I probably wouldn't wear any clothes that I have to put back on afterwards that would, suffer because of that. So you might get, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I bet you any money, the only person at this party that Nancy would let take a shower in the house is an oiled up Pat Boyle. Am I wrong on that?
I think that... Yeah, there's a chance Nancy might help Boyle shower off. Yeah.
Nancy would not be upset if she sees a semi-naked Pat Boyle getting oiled up in the yard.
She might offer a loofah. You never know.
I would say she might give you the bath.
maybe we'll hose off Boyle and just fry some chicken cutlets in the baby pool in that oil after.
Adriana says, Booskies to Bob and Nancy for letting the entire country into their backyard for our entertainment. Not all heroes wear capes, DA. I predict next year's Bob's Bar will need to have a limit on listener attendance. Somebody bring that man some rum chata. Booskies to Bob and Nancy.
Booskies!
I want to make sure that they don't get too anxious here by saying we've invited the entire country.
We technically did. I mean, you just uttered the words everybody's invited, literally.
Well, but
just because everybody's invited doesn't mean everybody's coming.
Right. Naturally, not everybody can attend.
Right. Everybody's invited to go to the Super Bowl. You still only get 80,000 there.
And this one's free. You don't even have to pay thousands
of
dollars.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, tomorrow's going to be something special. And Andrew Bogish is here for headlines. Bogues, what'd you think about the Gelb's gambles?
Gelb on tape sometimes is not the best experience, but that was well put together, well delivered, and I'm glad he left my name out of it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, leave me really alone. Yeah, he did a great job. All right, what do we got on headlines?
Well, guys, this is the best thing that happened in baseball last night.
Now the next offering, swing and a drive, hit pretty deep right field. Sanchez going back at the wall. He leaps. He made the catch. He made the catch. He just robbed Suarez of a grand slam here in the bottom of the ninth inning. An unbelievable game-saving grab by Jesus Sanchez in right field.
Jesus Sanchez denying Eugenio Suarez of, again, the game-tying grand slam, bottom nine in Seattle. The call from Marlins Radio, just one run scored on the sac fly instead. Miami eventually won 4-1. Elsewhere, it was about offense.
Here's Seager, and he swings first pitch. That ball's blasted. Nothing Renfro can do. That ball's gone. Duo up the middle for the Rangers. Strikes here in the seventh.
That's Corey Seager hitting a solo shot. The pitch after a two-run homer from Marcus Semien. The Rangers won 6-3 over the Angels after losing the first two games of this four-game set. Shohei Ohtani had two more hits, including his AL-leading 21st homer to extend his hit streak to 11. The A's winning streak is over at 7, a 6-3 home loss to the Rays, hours after the full Nevada legislature approved $380 million of public funding for a Vegas stadium. All that's left now is the governor's signature. Tatis, Machado, and Soto hit solo homers in the Padres' 5-0 win over Cleveland. The White Sox rallied for an 8-4 win at Dodger Stadium, and the Mets outlasted the Yankees 4-3-10 to avoid a two-game sweep. Kirk Cousins will make $30 million for the coming season. Then he'll need a new contract. The Vikings tabled talks this offseason. Cousins was asked for an update yesterday.
I think we'll probably talk about the contract next March, and until then, just focus on this season and the job to do right now.
And as the goofy SOB that he is, Cousins also said he's holding out hope that Minnesota re-signs running back Dalvin Cook. The U.S. Open begins in a few minutes at L.A. Country Club. The morning tee times include Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, and Bryson DeChambeau.
The scientist.
Dustin Johnson said yesterday that Saudi/Live officials have told him their tour will operate the same next year on the heels of the proposed merger with the PGA Tour. And a former Premier League star and coach, Patrick Vieira, reportedly interested in the U.S. men's soccer job, which has been open since the end of last year. Vieira has yet to officially interview for the position. And now, we're getting stunned.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Not surprising, this was a popular submission this week. Went back to the timestamps, and I believe Erica Peterson was the first to send it my way. And we've had this kind of story before somehow. Last Friday in Ecuador, a 76-year-old woman was rushed to the hospital in distress when she didn't respond to treatments. Doctors declared her dead. Her son was given a death certificate, so he took his mom's body to a funeral home. And roughly 5 hours into the wake, those in attendance heard a knocking noise coming from the coffin.
Oh, my goodness.
Mom was alive, breathing heavily. There is video of all of this. It starts moments after the coffin is open. She is still in there, wrapped in blankets. Eventually, she's put on a stretcher and taken back to the same hospital that thought she was already dead. She was in serious condition as of earlier this week. There is an official investigation underway.
I don't know what to say about this. I really don't. There's video of this. They begin taking the video when they've already opened up the casket, and it gets pretty close to her. Like, who's ever filming this on their camera goes into a close-up, and you can see her heavily breathing. Now, her eyes are not quite open. She's not quite conscious, but clearly she's breathing, and then they lift her out of the coffin, put her on a stretcher, and one of the guys that actually takes her out is wearing a teal Michael Jordan jersey, which feels like a knockoff. I don't remember that. I mean,
not a North Carolina roadie.
I can't. It says Bulls.
Oh, it
does.
I
can't believe this happens so often. Do you think that these are near-death experiences where their heart's giving out and then they kind of are legally dead and then suddenly their heart starts up a couple of hours later?
I'm worried that we've buried a lot of people that weren't dead until we buried them.
Right.
So this is where I get, like, medically here for a second.
Mm.
Can't you not, like, wouldn't embalming somebody further kill them if they were alive?
So this woman's not embalmed.
Yes.
Right.
This is what I can't figure out. There's no mention of the actual timeline, but it reads like they went from the hospital to the funeral home and then began sitting with her. That this kind of all happened within the same day, so to speak.
It says 5 hours later. I wonder if that's 5 hours after she was declared dead.
Right. So I don't think they had done any of the normal funeral home stuff to her yet. But she was still in a box, closed, presumed dead.
Yeah. And if she wasn't strong enough to bang on the box,
right?
It's curtains.
Daddy,
she's buried alive. Then she's buried alive.
It's curtains. No, but at the same time,
I can't.
If she got buried, you would have never known that she was alive, and you would have never had second thoughts.
Well, that's my point. Like, are we burying people who are, especially
alive,
in like lesser countries where technology maybe is not great? Are we burying people who are just barely alive that we miss out on? And then they die because of that.
Well, how about that then? I flipped that on its head. What if those people that are then getting buried alive think that they're dead and think that it's maybe heaven or hell if they believe in that? And then it's like, this is my fate now. Darkness in a box.
Oh, man.
By the way, this is not just an Ecuadorian or international problem. There was an incident earlier this year out on Long Island, actually.
Yeah, we did it in Stunned.
We did
at a funeral
home. We did. Yep.
Port Jefferson Nursing Center in Port Jeff. And then also this happened in Iowa back in January when the 66-year-old woman, remember, was in a body bag and she started gasping for air in there and they had to unzip it. So this is not just, like, this is happening here in the States as well. This stunt I can't really do because I'm claustrophobic anyway. This bleep I can't even handle.
I don't know where you guys stand.
That's why I said I never wanted to be cremated.
That's what I was going to say.
Until these stories, and then I said, fine, do it. I got to do that.
No. I feel like this should make you not want to be cremated because once you get burned to ashes, that's it. You got no chance of revival in the breath. I'm definitely out of cremation on this.
That's fine. If I've already, my heart's given out for a couple of hours, you throw me in that instant incinerator and I'm done and I go into the afterlife.
No.
I don't need the fourth quarter comeback in the casket.
No, I get that. I'm rooting comeback the whole way.
No, I get that. If I'm bad enough that you think I'm dead, let's just confirm it.
It's done.
Let's lock it in.
That's
it. It's a horrible ending. You guys are burned to your death.
You don't know. You don't know. Done in seconds. For you, you want to be rattling the coffin?
Yeah. Let me out. Let me out. I want to be that guy.
I'll say this much. If I want to get cremated, so this is not even really applicable, but if I did want to get buried and I'm still alive, you better make sure I'm dead before you put me in a box, because if I come out of it, I'm going to jail because I'm going to kill you.
But again, how are you making sure? Am I shooting you in the head? Like, how am I making that you're
dead? Wait like a day or two.
Yeah. Or definitely embalm me. Make sure that I am absolutely toast.
Well, that's a bad pun because that's exactly what you want to be.
I'm telling you, don't screw around. Incinerate me, throw my ashes out at Bob's bar, and I'm done with it. Can we just quickly go back to the alien story from yesterday? Because I played that improperly. I wanted more time for that, and I squeezed Bogues at the end. There was something that crashed in Las Vegas, and eyewitnesses say there were 8, 9, or 10 foot. They couldn't quite figure out how tall, but I mean, obviously, if it's an alien and it's 8 foot, it might feel 10 feet or whatever, that were hiding around this crash site, but the people that tried to go close were frozen. Their muscles were frozen from going closer. That witnesses said that they heard a lot of different footprints. Or they heard a lot of different feet shuffling, what have you. But there is no sign of anything that crashed. But everybody saw something green in the sky come down to Earth and crash.
And there's video of that thing coming from the sky and, crashing.
Right, from a dashboard cam of a cop. I mean, that one, like you said yesterday, Mraz, that shouldn't be stunned to a news. That should lead the show.
Well, I'm not kidding when I say this. We've had so many of these alien documentaries on streaming services and all of that, that I think it's almost become posh to be believing in aliens, and you almost never believe any stuff. Sure, that I think that we've watered down these alien sightings so much that now one that probably should be taken seriously, we don't care enough to make it front page news.
Or that there's so much crap on social media and the internet that people just wash over everything.
Right, and you don't ever want to be the guy who gets butt-cracked sports, either. You don't want to be the guy that's falling for something fake. What is this person coming up with?
Right, Ian Rappaport with 10 P's.
Exactly, exactly.
But there's also, just enough room to not believe any of this. There's a non-spaceship reason for something falling in the sky, a shooting star. And then somebody tweeted us yesterday, in this day and age, almost everybody's got a front door camera. I've got a back door camera, too. That all of these things never end up accidentally on somebody's something. Does that mean anything? Does that mean that we can't see them? They know how to be invisible? Or does it mean that they were just never there in the first place?
Right. And also, it happens in, scarce Las Vegas, Area 51 out there. How come this is never happening? How come an alien never crash lands in, by the Bean in Chicago? It's never, with a mass of people around.
I think that that's on purpose. I think aliens are trafficking in lesser populated places in case this type of stuff happens. If they have the technology to make you freeze in your tracks, unable to come forward and disappear, I think they know that they can't be caught over the Chicago skyline. They've got to be in less populated areas.
But if they're crashing, how much control of the ship do they have to stay away from populated areas?
I think maybe that's the safeguard.
And also, if they are crashing, why did they need the ship to get here to begin with if they could vanish and make themselves invisible and go back to where they came from?
Yeah, I think, there's something just statistically impossible about us being the only intelligent life.
When I agree.
Look up in the sky and every star is a potential sun of a different galaxy, or there was another picture that was just taken by some type of telescope or outer space device that showed all these thousands of potential galaxies.
Yeah.
Thousands of galaxies, not thousands of planets. It's statistically impossible we're the only advanced life form. So they're out there. It's just if we're making contact with them.
Right. Are they far enough that we never cross paths? No, I completely agree. There's no way. No way we're the only
one. But this one is, this one's intense. This one's, and now I got to see if they end up on Rachel Ray or something. If these witnesses just want attention out of this, then I'm going to stop believing as much. But to this point, the authorities say the people that say they crashed in the backyard, don't want any attention for it. They have interviewed them multiple times. They're like, they're not into being a hoax.
Yeah.
This is what they believe happened.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. You want to see Bob and Nancy's anxiety go through the roof, have an alien crash at 7 a.m. tomorrow. There.
Well, if Jack shows up, they'll think that.
Meet my Ark Manning.
It's Boob and Lancey.
Oh, boy.
When we come back on the show, advanced analytics and an epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Ark Manning.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Let's dial back to last summer and Bob's Bar 2. The most unexpected moment of last year's show, Shep V. Schwartz. Here it is. Shep is here, executive producer of the JR Sport Brief Show. Shep, so good to see you.
DA, great to be here. I just want to say, everybody here, thank you so much for coming out and supporting us. I know it is so early. You support DA Show. You support CBS Sports Radio. As a matter of fact, Mr. and Ms. Marash, thank you so much for having us. I know this took a lot of effort, a lot of thought, and a lot of will. And to you guys, really, truly, like, we don't do this in radio. Like, this is atypical of radio. Like, half of y'all know this, just being families of people in radio. This is so unique and just so bizarre in a good way. We're stuck at stations like 24/7, like commuting 2 hours just to get to a station. You see one person every single day. So thank you so much for what you guys are doing as a DA. So really, truly, it's awesome.
What is wrong with you? Are you like on another planet or something?
You know, Pete, I try to speak candidly and openly. Too, you know, we're giving the nicest person, you know what? You booed louder than anybody here, the nicest person at CBS Sports Radio. This man's our future boss. You better be smart. Who do you think I'm looking at right now? Connor Green.
Are
you booed him louder than anybody?
I booed you.
Okay. I didn't see you boo me. I saw you looking at him and booing him.
I did not boo
Connor. You booed Connor Green. Don't lie on the DA show. Pete.
Overnights come in the newsroom.
Yeah.
Pete,
yeah.
Who do you think is the best host at this network?
Huh.
Wow, on the spot.
So
you say
DA.
You still complaining about Pete?
So you see it, yeah. Go to Pharrell and say, Pete doesn't think you're the best host. But this is what he does. What do you think of our boss? You think they run this place well?
I never said that.
From day one, constantly. Come to me. And ask me these questions.
This is not
to get me in trouble.
Why don't you complain about another host or a blue check mark?
I have nothing to complain about.
I have nothing but respect for you, but I think you're being a little unfair because I never said that. You're just putting words in my mouth. You're trying to make me look bad.
I'm not. That is you.
I've asked you one time. I've asked you one time who you think the best host is. I have a right to do that. I was a young up and coming guy. I'm trying to emulate and model myself after hosts like DA. I can't ask that question.
Around and bringing that information to you.
Nowhere.
No.
Mark Chernoff wanted nothing to do with me.
All right. How's everybody enjoying Bob's Bar today?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail. Oh my God, that never gets old. Oh man. There was the thank you from the back of the crowd and a ooh from the crowd after the blue check mark.
I never noticed the ooh after the blue check mark one.
Ooh, that'll leave a mark. The poll question today, what are you most looking forward to tomorrow? 82% of you said Mraz getting slapped by a kielbasa. 18% said Pat Boyle getting oiled. Now, bodybuilders use oil as a resource to improve the shape of muscles to appear more cosmetically attractive. Kielbasa commonly seen on the dinner tables of noblemen and knights of higher stature. And Pat Boyle has been working a hectic schedule the last 3 weeks, so don't expect a chiseled rack of abs tomorrow. He's thick with two C's. Enjoy his mass. More than his definition. Wow, so we got a thick boy coming tomorrow? Is that right, Pat?
Yeah, baby.
Thick boy summer.
Thick boy summer. And that's it. Tomorrow it happens. The Bob's Bar Show beginning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 a.m. Pacific. Make sure you are watching on YouTube for the visuals. Make sure you are downloading the podcast once it's over. Make sure you listen to this week's PGP for behind the scenes. It's all happening. Thanks to executive producer Sean Moran. Andrew Bogish on headlines. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Pat Boyle on the Wheels of Steel. DA, we'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.